It's great to be bringing you God's Word here today. And what an exciting weekend, Surrender Weekend, where we get to surrender ourselves afresh to God for the coming year ahead. I would love to just spend a couple of moments speaking about a word, about what this weekend is really about. In short, it's about saying yes to Jesus, not just in this moment today, but continuously in the days to come. Many of us remember that moment when we gave our life to Jesus. You may have said a prayer of surrender to Jesus, where you invited Jesus to come into your life and you asked him to be the Lord of your life. Perhaps you didn't pray a prayer of salvation, or perhaps you had a moment in time where you knew that, I want to follow Jesus, and you chose to yield yourself to him and his lordship. Well, from that moment, we chose to spend a life, a journeying with Jesus, of saying yes to Jesus, a life where we're learning to surrender the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act, to thinking, speaking, and acting like Jesus. And this weekend is more than just an event in the church calendar. It's about living a continued lifestyle of surrender. And I love the fact that we earmark this weekend, because it's a reminder every year of the Christian life that we are called to. So the more I think about this surrendered life that Jesus invites me to, and if you can entertain me for a moment, I'm going to put on my public relations background hat on. I kind of think that the surrendered life is living an adventurous life. And so if you want a title for this message today, that is the title: Living the Adventurous Life. Now, when I say the word adventure, you might think of people like Bear Grylls, you know, doing these crazy, wacky things like eating testicles of a ram, or maybe perhaps some adrenaline activity like skydiving, something to that effect. Well, I'm kind of relieved that that this spectrum when it comes to adventure is quite diverse. But interestingly enough, when you Google the word adventure, you do get these roller coaster theme parks and bungee jumping activities. But adventure can look different to every person. So today I want to just quickly look at what the word adventure means. The dictionary defines adventure as unusual and exciting and daring experience. Now, would you say that describes the Christian life? Unusual, exciting, and daring. The fact is that God tailor makes for every single one of us a mission to extend his kingdom here on earth. And guaranteed, it's going to be something that's going to be unusual, daring, and exciting. And for this reason alone, it requires us to depend on God like nothing else. And I think for that very reason, it makes it exciting, and it makes it daring, and it makes it unusual. And it's going to look completely different from person to person. But would you describe life that way, unusual, exciting, and daring? Or would you say that your life lacks a little bit of adventure? When I looked at the words that were opposite to adventure, the antonym words, I got words like fact, assurance, certainty, plan, safety, protection. Now, in and of themselves, those words, there's nothing wrong with them. We need some of that. But if our lives are completely safe, if our lives are completely wanting to live with certainty, where we need to completely plan, then we have no room for the unusual, the exciting and daring that God may be wanting to lead us into. And if anything, what last year taught us, particularly with COVID-19, is that life is uncertain. And more than ever, we need to depend on God to show us where he wants us to be and what he wants us to do. The only thing I'm certain about is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we see this adventurous life that Jesus calls us to in Matthew 10, when he speaks to his disciples. He gathers these 12 disciples, he calls them out, and he gathers them to himself. And they come from various backgrounds, various socioeconomic backgrounds, various trades. Some are fishermen, one is a zealot, another is a tax collector, quite an eclectic mix of people. And he then gives them this mission. He sends them out two by two, and he says, I want you to go out and I want you to heal the sick and I want you to cast out demons, and I want you to raise up people who are lifeless and bring them back to life." And this sounds awesome and it sounds cool, and the disciples are excited that they get to do this in Jesus' name. And Jesus goes on and goes, "But you know what? I don't want you to take your money with you, and I don't want you to think about where you're going to sleep for the night. You've got to trust me that these things are going to be provided for you. And if someone is not going to open their home to you, I want you to almost do a Taylor Swift and shake it off and move on." So he kind of prepares them for the task ahead. And then he gives them this final pep talk. And we're going to read what he says to the disciples in Matthew 10, 16. We're going to pick it up from verse 16. It says, "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You'll be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues." Now, hang on, Jesus. When I signed up to this, you never mentioned about being flogged. This is new information. But Jesus goes on and he says, "On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you." Now, I can imagine someone like Peter going, "Hang on, I'm a fisherman. I fish and I act. What's this public speaking thing about? I'm not up for public speaking. I'm not up for speaking before governors and kings and all the rest." But Jesus goes on and says, "Brother will betray brother to death and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." Now, hang on, Jesus. I thought this was good news. Why would people hate us? Jesus goes on. "The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters." In other words, we need to stay humble, people. Always remember, we need to stay humble. And Jesus goes on to say, "If the head of the household has been called Beelzebub," which is another word for Satan, "how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Okay, so Jesus here has just told us not to be afraid three times. I imagine the disciples were a little afraid, especially when he's told them three times. Jesus goes on and says, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven." Ouch, this is getting serious. "So do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And now here's the clincher. "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Wow, what a pep talk, hey? What an incredible passage of scripture. Jesus lays out this mission, but he clearly says, in order to fulfill this mission, you have to surrender and there will be a cost. And we see this theme going right through the Bible. Whenever Jesus calls people to a mission to extend his kingdom here on earth, there are two common threads, one of surrender and one of cost. And Jesus doesn't hide the fact that there is a cost. He doesn't mince his words. He says, yes, there's going to be a cost in following me. And it will cost us various things. It may cost us our time, our energy, our finances, our desires, our potentially some relationships. And yes, potentially even our very own lives, if that's what Jesus calls us to. He spells it out very clear that in following him, there is a cost. But in that cost, can I say, what we will find is our true life. I believe when you know that you are fulfilling what God is asking you to do, there is nothing else that can give you such unbelievable joy, unbelievable satisfaction and peace, knowing that you are doing what God is asking you to do. So it's all about going where Jesus is calling you to go. It's doing what he does. It's speaking what he's asking you to say and being like him. You know, there can only be one driver in the driver's seat of our life, and it's either Jesus or it's ourselves. Who's in the driver's seat of your life? Is it you or is it Jesus? You know, letting go and letting someone else lead our lives can be hard. I am learning constantly how to be that passenger in life and letting Jesus lead me. And so I'm sure I'm in good company today. You know, it is very much about living a life of adventure. There is absolutely no doubt about it when you don't know what Jesus is going to do next. And each and every day we need to approach it like an adventure. Do we wake up in the morning and say, okay, Jesus, I am open and ready. I'm ready for whatever you want me to do here today. Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to extend your love and grace to today? Or is the day so planned out in your head that you don't leave no room for Jesus to interrupt it? You know, I experienced that even putting this message together. I had blocked out the morning to prepare and I silenced my phone and I tried to remove every distraction. And yet I still had my phone next to me. And as I was preparing this message, I saw it flash and I looked down and I saw a name. And as I looked at this name, I thought, oh, do I answer? And I felt the prompting of God say, yes, I want you to answer. And I knew by answering this call, it wasn't going to be a 1 minute conversation. You see, the person who I was going to speak to had been going through 2 years of absolute, I guess, sheer hell in their words. They lost their business. They lost their family. They were estranged from their children. And so I picked up the call and this person wanted to share with me that life was finally turning around. Now, this person doesn't follow God yet. And as we were sharing, I was encouraging that God is, you know, is going to bring good things to their life. And at the end of the conversation, they said to me, you know, I feel so inspired talking to you. And that's a lovely thing for that person to say. But I took the moment to say, you know what, that inspiration that you're sensing, it's not me, it's Jesus. Jesus loves you. We need to stop and hear what the Spirit of God is asking us to do and who to share the gospel with, who to share Christ's love with. You know, and this year, I absolutely love the vision that we have as a church to reimagine what church might be like, to reimagine what our lives might be like this year, to not do the same things, to be open to the new wine that God is pouring out, a message that Amelia Pickering shared a couple of weeks ago. And I see us this year becoming more flexible. I see us taking up opportunities. I see God calling people and people stepping up and stepping out in schools and businesses like never before. I see people sharing the gospel with their neighbors like never before. I see real opportunities this year that God is going to tap on our shoulders and ask, are you going to step up and step out? And it's about having a surrendered and adventurous heart attitude. And you know, can I encourage you, it only starts with the little. Those little decisions you make in a day that require you to surrender. You know, will I stop in this moment and respond and speak to this person? Will I say yes to this task that normally is not something I would normally do? Will I choose to speak kindly rather than out of impatience and frustration? Will I choose to be countercultural? What will our attitude be in those moments when the Holy Spirit asks us to respond? Will we be like Moses, giving God every excuse while we're not trained up for the task? You know, God, I haven't got any experience. I can't do this. And yet he had all the experience being trained in Pharaoh's household. Or will we be like Jonah? God, I don't know about this mercy stuff. Nah, I'm out of here. And run in the opposite direction of what God is asking us to do. Or what about Gideon, who used his family background as an excuse not to respond to the call of God? God, have you checked out my family? I ain't got much cred. I don't know about if I can do this. You know, or we have another option at our hands. We can have a more courageous and willing attitude. Like David, who was confident and said, you know, the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear will deliver me from this giant. Or what about even Queen Esther, who didn't ultimately cling to her life at all and just had a, if I perish, I perish kind of attitude. And finally, we have the beautiful example of Jesus' mother Mary, who couldn't work out how this was going to be, how she was going to have a child when she had never been with a man, and yet said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be unto me as you have said. Incredible words, incredible willingness of heart. Every one of these people, however, were pretty much out of their comfort zones, were pretty much out of their depth. But ultimately, they surrendered to God and as a result, lived this adventurous life, bringing God's kingdom to earth, changing lives and changing nations as a result. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to do the same wherever God wants us to be. And so today we are simply going to consecrate ourselves afresh to Jesus' call and his mission. We're preparing our hearts to say yes to Jesus in 2021. And living this surrendered, adventurous life means we simply get out of the way and we let God shape us and mold us the way he wants. And it's all about trusting and depending on God more and trusting and depending on ourselves less. And we need to know that Jesus' call is always backed up by heaven's resources. We see this response by Jesus, even when the people had excuses as why they couldn't do what God was asking them. There was always the same response. God responded to Moses and said, I will be with you. And he responded to Joshua and said, I, the Lord your God, will be with you. And he responded to Gideon and said, I will be with you. And so today the same response is to us. I will be with you. And you know, church, I want to encourage you to take comfort in those words, I will be with you. It means that the Holy Spirit will guide us. It will mean the Holy Spirit will go before us. It means the Holy Spirit will show us what we need to do. And so we can rest in the presence of God. So this year, before when God prompts you, when the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, before you say no, take a moment to stop, to reflect, to pray, and to think about, does this thing that I'm being asked to do, does it have that sense of the unusual, the daring and the exciting? Does it require me to depend on God and place my faith in God like never before? Well, can I encourage you, if it has those elements, it most likely will have the Spirit of God behind it. And no matter what this year holds and no matter what God asks you to do, simply take courage and rest in the words that God says to you, I will be with you.